listening to the Apollo Podcast Network. One.
Get ready to launch yourself to the latest Rockets news. You're listening to the Launchpad Podcast presented by Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. I am your host, LaShard Binkley. I'm a staff writer for the Dream Shake. And as usual, you can find me on Twitter at HTownForLife40, all caps. Be sure to follow the official Apollo Media account at Apollo HOU, as well as hitting the subscribe button on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. We would greatly appreciate it. And on today's show, I'm actually flying solo for this episode of Launchpad Podcast. And in today's show, we're going to be discussing in segment one, of course, the latest loss for the Rockets, the 14th straight loss in last night's game to the New York Knicks, 107-99. I'll be breaking that down in the first segment. The second segment, going to be discussing, to put it nicely, the current rotation of the Houston Rockets and why is it that it seems like it changes from game to game, and the excuses on why it changes also are different from game to game. And in the last segment, we're going to be talking about the upcoming games next week and if the Rockets have a chance to break that long, long 14-game losing streak at some point in the next week. So again, I want to start off with last night's game when the Rockets lost 107-99 to the New York Knicks. They actually fought with the Knicks all the way up until the last few minutes of the fourth quarter. They had a lead after 121-13. It was tied at the half. They had a lead going into the fourth quarter by 1 point. They actually won the third quarter, which is something they rarely do. I think only two times before had they actually won the third quarter going into this game. And it was a back and forth through most of the fourth quarter, and then the wheels fell off like they've done for most of this season. For some reason, Alperen Şengün was taken out towards the end of the game. And not to say that this is the only reason why they – started losing down the stretch and didn't score for the last couple of minutes and ended up losing the game. But it was definitely a big part of it because up until that point, Şengün was providing a lot of the offense that the Rockets were having success with as far as being able to get players in the right position. And as we all know, he can score against anybody in the post. He can get the ball in the right spots to different players. But then he brought Daniel Theis back in. And his reason for that was he felt that Theis was a better defender on Julius Randle than Alperen Şengün would have been, even though at times, a lot, actually more than a few times, Eric Gordon was one of the main guys guarding Julius Randle, and Julius Randle was not able to post up or get good shots over Eric Gordon. So I don't know if I necessarily understand that logic. And another reason he said was because Alperen Şengün had played 13 straight minutes, which again, that kind of goes back to why is he playing 13 straight minutes when you know you're probably going to need him late in the game. You need to break up that time, have him come out earlier in the fourth quarter or late in the third quarter so that you'll be able to have him late in the game. Because let's be honest, Alperen Şengün is a better player than Daniel Theis. I see it. Pretty much most of the Rockets fan base see it. I don't know the exact reason why the Rockets necessarily don't see this, but Alperen Şengün, nine times out of 10, needs to be finishing these games. I mean, another reason why the Rockets lost is kind of wash and repeat. They missed their free throws. They missed nine free throws. The Knicks only missed four. That's part of your ball game right there. The Rockets shot 10 for 39 from three. Again, bad three-point shooting. They shot under 26%. Guess what? The Knicks shot 18 of 41. So they shot 18 of 41. They made 22 of their 26 free throws, and you still only lost by seven. So that'll tell you right there that this game was there for the taking. I mean, most of this game, the Knicks couldn't make a shot. They actually made a higher percentage of their three-pointers than they did shots inside the arc. So the Rockets, the game was right there for the taking. But then you also factor in the Rockets had 22 turnovers. The Knicks had 12. There you go. There's the ball game right there. Every game is pretty much the same thing. The Rockets are one of the worst teams in the league in turnovers. They are the worst free throw shooting team in the league, but they are the best team at getting to the free throw line. So that's a crazy stat. You're actually good at getting to the free throw line, but you're horrible once you get there. And they've lost several games this year because they simply can't make their free throws. Another thing that kind of stands out actually in the Rockets' favor is points in the paint. The Rockets are top 5 points in the paint team. They had 56 points in the paint last night compared to only 26 for the Knicks. And yet they still lost the game because they're not doing the fundamental things that you should do to win games. They're not making their free throws, and they're continuously turning the ball over. Eric Gordon ran the point a lot last night. I mean, he's basically a guy that they kind of just filled in because Kevin Porter Jr. wasn't there. DJ Augustine did not play a lot yesterday. I mean, he's on the other point guard on the roster. They had been running Josh Christopher, some of the backup point guard, but he didn't even get any time at all yesterday. He was a coach's DMP last night, so he didn't even get any playing time. DJ Augustine actually had 11 minutes yesterday, but like I said, most of the time was Eric Gordon, some Jalen Green, but for the most part, Eric Gordon was the one bringing the ball up for most of the game. But again, it was the same thing it's been all year in close games. They had a chance to win it, but could not make a shot down the stretch, couldn't get good shots. They actually had a couple open threes, couldn't make them. And then when you take and you compound the problem by putting in Daniel Tice, who absolutely clogs up the paint because teams are not going to guard him. Everybody keeps pointing this out. It's a fact. Teams do not guard Daniel Tice in the paint. They sag off of him. They leave him wide open. They're fine with him making a three or two a game and missing five or six. They have no desire to guard him, which makes it harder for everybody else on the court, especially Jalen Green. It makes it harder for him to be able to get to the basket because in this instance, Nerlens Noel is not even guarding him. He's just standing in the paint waiting for Green to get into the paint to help out on him. So at this point, I don't understand really the reason to even be starting Daniel Tice. I understand what it gives you on the defensive end, but Amperen Şengün is just so much of a better player at this point, and I think that kind of caught them off guard. I think if they knew how good Şengün was going to be this early, they would have never signed Daniel Tice, especially to a four-year deal with $9 million per year. There's no way they would have signed him because even Coach Salas said he would actually prefer to have Christian Wood at center, but then that throws off their rotation because since they insist on giving Daniel Tice significant minutes, that means you're playing three centers. And that means that Amperen Şengün would probably be the odd man out most situations. So you really don't want that because right now he's still splitting time with Daniel Tice. They're still playing about the same amount of minutes a game where I don't know, maybe Amperen Şengün's not ready to play 30 plus minutes a game, but if he is, there's no reason why he should be playing 24 minutes and Daniel Tice is playing 23 minutes. There's just no reason for that. So again, that's pretty much sums up the last game, why the Rockets lost. They had a chance down the stretch. The game was close. It was actually tied and they took Amperen Şengün out. And just like that, presto, the game goes away, the offense struggles, and the Rockets just definitely cannot score down the stretch, and Knicks are able to pull away. And another really quick thing on this game, it always seemed like it's just some random player that just goes off against the Rockets. Yesterday, it was Alec Burks, who at one point, if I'm not mistaken, he was either 5 or 5 or 6 or 6 from three. I think he finally missed one or two in the fourth quarter that were kind of just last second from 30-foot desperation threes, but I mean, he just went off against them. And another player who had been struggling coming into this game was Evan Fournier. And he's another guy. He always seems, every time he plays the Rockets, whether he's with Orlando or whatever team, the Boston Celtics, whatever team he's with, he always seems to have great games against the Rockets. He had 19 points last night. He was the second leading scorer. So Alec Burks and Evan Fournier were the two leading scorers last night. And those are the two guys that beat you. I mean, Julius Randle almost had a triple-double. He had 16, 10, and 9, but he didn't have a good game from the field. He struggled from the field. So, basically, it came down to Evan Fournier and Alex Burks were able to make shots down the stretch, and the Rockets weren't. That's basically what it came down to. So, that's going to wrap it up for the first segment. In the second segment, we're going to be talking about some of these rotations that are still have a lot of Rockets fans scratching their head. We're still trying to figure those out. And also talk about some of Jalen Green's comments after the game, so please stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
And And welcome back to Launchpad Podcast presented by Apollo Media. And in this second segment, we're going to actually be talking about some of the rotation that the Rockets have been running out for most of this year. And specifically last night's game that a lot of people think caused that loss to the New York Knicks down the stretch. For most of the year, the Rockets have been running out of starting lineup with Daniel Tice, Christian Wood, Jayson Tate, KPJ, and of course, Jalen Green. And it's been a kind of a debate going back and forth on whether Tice should be starting, whether Shagun should be starting. A little bit it was whether, you know, maybe Jayson Tate should be coming off the bench. But as we see, Jayson Tate's actually been one of their best players all year long. So I don't necessarily think that's a debate anymore. I think he's fine in starting lineup. Could he improve his three-point shooting? Of course, because it's compounded by having Daniel Tyson in the starting lineup and having two non-shooters in your starting lineup really close to the paint. But Jayson Tate is just so many other things better than anybody else. Defense, rebounding, hustle plays, getting to the basket, scoring in the paint, scoring on fast break. He just does so much, so many other things that his three-point shooting is not as huge of a deal as it is with Daniel Tice. With Daniel Tice, of course, we know he had the one really good game, if I'm not mistaken. It was either, I can't remember off the top of my head because it was so long ago, but it was either against Denver or it was against one of my other teams during his losing streak. He had one really good game. But other than that, it's been mainly just kind of like ho-hum games where he'd make a few good defensive plays. But for the most part, he's really been a net negative on the court. And he's more of a guy that should be just playing backup spot minutes, specifically against, you know, bigger centers that maybe Shangun will have trouble against. But for the most part, he's been starting most of the year. There was one game a couple games ago that he did not start, and they actually did start Christian Wood at center along with Daniel House and along with Eric Gordon, which that was a whole nother situation where Daniel House in 12 minutes did not make a shot, had several turnovers. And after the 12 minutes, I think finally Coach Childs realized, okay, he's not bringing anything to the team. He didn't play for the rest of the game. And the games that Shangun has actually started, like it was a game or so that Daniel Tice actually missed, you can already tell that the offense flowed a lot better, that they had a better chance to win. But again, for some reason, we're still going back to this Daniel Tice in the starting lineup. I don't know if it's a case of where they don't want to just sit Daniel Tice and admit that maybe they shouldn't have signed him. And that's why they continue to play him. But he continues to be in the starting lineup just like he was yesterday. And I don't necessarily think that's a horrible thing, having him starting lineup. He goes out there the first few minutes, he's not doing well, you bring in Shangun. My biggest issue, again, like I mentioned in the first segment, is him finishing games. I just don't see the advantage of having him finish games, especially games you're struggling to score. I can understand maybe, well, you have him out there, he's not playing that well, you take him out, you bring him in for special situations, maybe a defensive offensive swap at the end of games, but to have him play basically the last few minutes, 3 or 4 minutes of a game that you're having trouble scoring, I just don't understand that part of the rotation. Another thing I don't understand, especially last night, is Josh Christopher had gotten 0 minutes yesterday. You were having trouble scoring. You needed somebody to come in and give you some energy, and he didn't get a minute yesterday. So at this point, I don't understand. If you're not going to play him, if you're going to continue to play DJ Augustine, maybe they'd continue to play him and try to get him traded to another team. If that's the case, that's fine. But Josh Christopher needs to be in the G League getting minutes. Just like they sent down Usman Garuba, who yesterday, by the way, was 6 for 6, also had 8 rebounds, and the Vipers actually went 4-0. So at least you have one team that's actually playing really well that's affiliated with the Rockets. But he had a really good game yesterday. And one of the things he mentioned, and I actually tweeted this out, was that he doesn't feel that, you know, he necessarily needs to be in the G League, but at least he's getting playing time. He's actually playing in games. And I think that's the same thing with Josh Christopher. Does Josh Christopher necessarily need to be in the G League? Maybe not. But he definitely could use the minutes because he's not going to get it with the Rockets. Because you have Josh Christopher, then you have also Amari Brooks, who's not getting any minutes at all. So that's two players right there that are not getting any minutes. So to me, you got to let Josh Christopher go down to the G League, get him some minutes, and then when you get some trades going, like Eric Gordon traded, DJ Augustine traded, then you can bring him back up. But for now, he's just sitting on the bench, not playing at all. Going back to, again, like I said, I'm just thinking maybe it's just a case of they signed Daniel Tice. They don't want to admit it was a mistake, so they're going to continue to play him, even though at this point it's not the best thing for the team. If you want to start him, if you want to be stubborn and start him, fine. But to me, there's no reason he finishes games. You want to bring him in at the end of games, special situations where he's playing defense on one end and then on the next dead ball you bring in Shane Goon on the offensive end. I'm fine with that. But another thing, Shane Goon is not a liability on defense. Yes, some bigger players try to bully him down in paint, and he may not always get the calls that, you know, a veteran may get. But Shane Goon is not, it's not like people are dominating Shane Goon down in the post. It's not like people are putting him in pick and rolls and it's making it harder for him to stay in the game because they're constantly beating him off of pick and rolls. That's just not the case. At least that's not from what I've seen. Maybe the numbers bear out something different than what I'm seeing. But from what I've seen, Shane Goon is able to move his feet, stay in front of the ball carrier, and he's not getting beat every single time down the court. And he's just also, he's making plays. He's stripping the ball. He's getting block shots. He's drawing charges. So I don't know. I just don't understand the point of not having Shane Goon finish games. As far as the rest of the rotation, I mean, I don't think there's really anything you need to do as far as the starting lineup. Maybe you can, like I said, have Christian Wood at center. And to alleviate that problem, he was mentioned earlier by having three centers. Well, then Daniel Tice just needs to be playing 2 or 3 minutes a game, and Shane Goon needs to be the backup center. Because honestly, a lot of times, maybe Christian Wood at center is your best case. It spreads out the floor more. You get more playmakers on the court because the Rockets really lack playmakers, especially in the starting lineup when you have Daniel Tice out on the court. And maybe you start a KJ next to Christian Wood, at least for one game. I mean, you're 1-15 at this point. What exactly is that going to hurt putting KJ Martin in as your power forward, Christian Wood as center, Alperen Şengün as your backup center, and have Daniel Tice just play a few minutes? I mean, at this point, you should be doing every single thing you can think of to get out of this losing streak. If it's putting Daniel Tice at the end of the bench and starting Christian Wood at center, you need to do that. If it means putting KJ Martin in at power forward, you need to do that. Heck, if it means putting Josh Christopher in as your shooting guard and putting Jayson Tate at your power forward and moving KPJ to small forward, whatever you need to do, it's really no point in sticking to certain lineups. You're not winning. You're constantly losing games, and you're getting to the point where I won't say you're losing the fan base, but people aren't exactly tuning in, looking, being excited about Rockets games when you're 1-15. So you need to do something to turn the tide. And to me, you do whatever you can to change that lineup up, and you continue to change the lineup until you get wins. Another thing I want to discuss before we wrap up the second segment, I want to talk about the recent quotes by Jalen Green. Mark Berman tweeted this out yesterday where Jalen Green is basically saying we were too worried about buckets and it just took us out of our game. He says it's obviously frustrating losing when we see what we see what can happen if we play hard and play together. That whole first three quarters we were ahead and we were doing our thing, and then like I said, that fourth quarter just adversity hit and we went away from it. We can't just do the same thing every game and expect a different result. Exactly what I was just talking about earlier. He also mentioned that maybe sometime he needed to take more of a leadership role. This is something else that I mentioned, that the Rockets don't have a closer right now. And that's why they keep losing a lot of these close games. Not to say that Jalen Green can't be that closer, but the Rockets aren't putting him in a position to make him the closer. And I think Jalen Green is kind of torn. Well, I'm a rookie. I don't want to step on anybody's toes. But I think, honestly, he's just going to get to a point where he's just going to say, hey, I'm just going to take over the game, or at least try to, because what we're doing right now ain't working. And I'm trying to step back and let the veterans kind of take the lead, and it's not working. So I just need to go out there, get up my shots, do whatever I can to make it work, because right now the Rockets need a designated closer. You need somebody that at the end of the game you can get the ball to and they're going to score. Or they're going to get to the foul line. And getting to the foul line is not necessarily his fault, because they're still not calling enough fouls for Jalen Green. He gets hacked on a lot of these plays, and they just do not call fouls for him for whatever reason. But I think Jalen Green's going to get to the point where he's just going to feel like he just needs to take over this team, and he's going to be the guy that ends up being a closer by the end of the year. Because right now, I mean, Christian Wood's not that guy. KPJ, maybe he develops into that guy, but right now, I mean, especially with the injury, that's kind of a setback. So I think Jalen Green eventually by the end of the year will be that guy that kind of takes over and hopefully start helping them win some of these close games, because I think it's even more frustrating than when you get beat by 30, when you actually have a chance to win a game and you don't do the little small things you need to do to win a game and you lose and now you're 1-15. So, like I said, the Rockets need to scrap whatever plan they've been coming up with and do whatever it takes. If it means playing five small guys, whatever you need to do, you need to change up your rotation, change up the lineup. That's the only way you're going to get out of this losing streak. So that's going to wrap it up for the second segment. And last segment, we're going to be discussing some of the upcoming games. And if the Rockets can actually get a win, maybe before the end of November, that would be nice. But we'll check that out and look at the schedule and see if the Rockets have any chance to end this losing streak anytime soon. So please stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
And welcome back to Launchpad Podcast. As usual, please leave us a review and drop us some stars. Of course, we prefer 5 stars, but we just appreciate you listening. As always, every week on the Launchpad Podcast. And in this final segment, I will be discussing the Rockets' upcoming schedule. As we all know, they've lost 14 in a row. They're 1-15. And looking through the schedule, up until the end of the year, it's not a lot of opportunities for wins. The Rockets actually have coming up, they have the Celtics, the Bulls, the Hornets. They have the Thunder twice. Man, they sure played the Thunder a lot of times. Seems like they already played them 10 times this year. The Magic, the Pelicans, the Nets, the Bucks, the Grizzlies, the Hawks. I won't even go through the entire schedule for the end of the year because, man, they have a tough schedule to end the year. They don't have a lot of opportunities that you just think offhand, like, okay, the Rockets actually have a chance to win this game. I mean, they have a really tough schedule to end the year. They actually have the Lakers again coming up. They have the Heat again. Then they play the Wizards, where you think, like, oh, well, the Wizards aren't very good to start January, but the Wizards have the best record in the East. They play the 76ers, and maybe by that time, Joel Embiid will probably be back. And they play the Nuggets to begin the year. But to end the year, if you're looking at the schedule, I think the Rockets can actually get 1 or 2 wins. And I know you're like, man, you're being very optimistic there, LaShard, talking about 1 or 2 wins from Tina's 1-15. But they play the Thunder back-to-back games. It's really hard. I mean, even for the Rockets, it's really hard to lose back-to-back games against somebody. Not to say that the Thunder are, you know, the top of the league, but heck, the Thunder had at least 6 wins already this year. I think that's like one of the biggest surprises all year is the Thunder having already 6 wins. And Lou Dort turning into basically Reggie Miller every time he plays the Rockets. But I think the Rockets can probably pull out 1 of those 2 wins against the Thunder coming up. They play them on back-to-back games coming up on the 28th and actually December 1st. So whether the Rockets actually get a win before the end of November, because they are absolutely winless for the entire month of November, that would be something interesting to see, because the next couple of games before they play the Thunder, they play the Bulls, who's actually playing like one of the best teams in the league, Zach LaVine. They have DeMar DeRozan, who's an MVP candidate. Even though Nikola Vukovic has been out, they're still winning a lot of games. I mean, Ball has been playing great ever since he came to Chicago. So, I mean, that's going to be a really tough game for the Rockets to win on Wednesday. But tomorrow, they actually go up against the Celtics, who have been playing without Jaylen Brand. I don't know if he's scheduled to be back for that game, but I think he's probably going to be out. And the Celtics have been up and down all year. That's another team. The Rockets actually played pretty well earlier in the year, even though the Celtics end up pulling away in the second half. So they have the Celtics tomorrow. Of course, they'll be playing Jason Tatum, who always, you know, against everybody, you know, especially the Rockets, he gives them a hard time. But another guy that every single time he plays the Rockets is Robert Williams. He had a point last year, and I'm not mistaken, the year before that, where he hadn't missed a shot against the Rockets in like 3 or 4 games. So every time he plays the Rockets, he always has a really good game against the Rockets. Of course, they have the, you know, the pest in Marcus Smart, who, you know, used to always give Harden a hard time every time he plays. So he's actually been playing a lot of point guard for them, because they really don't have a traditional point guard since Kemba Walker left. But I won't say that the Rockets, I'm not guaranteeing a win against the Celtics by no means, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's another close game. Like I said, the Celtics have been up and down. They don't have a lot of scores on that team. They basically have Tatum and everybody else. And they have a really good, you know, some other good defenders. Like I said, Robert Williams is a really good inside player. Grant Williams plays some minutes. And Al Horford is the reason why the Celtics beat the Rockets last game. The last time the Rockets and Celtics played, the game was actually close for a little bit. And then they brought in Al Horford, and Al Horford just dominated the Rockets in the second half, blocking shots, running the court like he was, you know, back in his Atlanta Hawk days when they were going to conference championships every year. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Rockets are actually able to hang with the Celtics tomorrow and have a chance to win it. Don't be surprised if they have a chance to win it. Now, whether they win the game or not, I'm definitely not guaranteeing that the way they finish off games lately. But they have a chance to win tomorrow. The Celtics aren't an unbeatable team. So let's just keep that in mind going into tomorrow's game. But like I said, other than that, it's really going to be maybe they can pull out one of these Thunder wins. Possibly they have the Magic on December 3rd. That's another game they could possibly win before the end of the year. But looking at the schedule, they probably have at most a chance to win two or three games. And honestly, the way the season's been going, that would be an absolute win for the Rockets to have four wins by the end of this year. Because like I said, right now they're on a 14-game losing streak, trying to avoid that 20-game losing streak they had last year, which was probably some of the worst basketball I've watched as a Rockets fan. And I've been watching the Rockets for decades now. So they definitely want to avoid that, because that's when you start getting national attention. When you start getting close to 20 win losses in a row, that's when you start getting the negative attention. Right now, nobody's really even paying attention to the Rockets outside of Houston, let's just be honest, other than when they have a chance to dump on Jalen Green if he's not playing well. But most national media is not paying attention to the Rockets. But if you go on another 20-game losing streak, I can guarantee you're going to start being part of a lot of segments on a lot of different NBA shows, and you're not exactly going to want that. So like I said, the key to tomorrow's game is the key to every single game they've been in this year. Making their free throws, you know, better than a 70% clip, which they have right now. They're not even at 7%. They're actually at 69% free throw shooting. That's horrible as a team. I mean, that's very bad. That's about as bad as you can get as a team. Not turn the ball over. The Rockets are one of the worst teams in the league. Turn the ball over. You can't turn the ball over and give teams easy shots, because the Rockets are not a good fast break defense team. They don't get back on fast break well enough to constantly be turning the ball over. And it'll be nice if they actually make more than 20% of their three-pointers. But they won't do that if they have Daniel Tice on the court playing 25 minutes next game. I can pretty much guarantee you that. It's not a lot I can guarantee you about the Rockets. But I can guarantee you, Daniel Tice is playing 25-plus minutes a game. More than likely, they're not going to be shooting better than 25-30% from three-point range. So you got to be able to get your shooters on the court. You got to get Şengün more minutes than Daniel Tice. Şengün needs to be finishing the game. And for God's sakes, let Armani Brooks play some minutes. I know Garrison Matthews has been playing, and he's a scrappy player. And at times, he can get hot from three-point range, but yesterday, so far with the Rockets, he has not been making three-pointers. So I don't think it would hurt at this point to let Josh Christopher get some minutes. Let Armani Brooks get some minutes. Get some of these guys on the court that haven't been playing, because like I said, at this point, what in the world do you have to lose? You're 1-15. Unfortunately, you're the laughing stock of the league right now. I guarantee, like I mentioned before, you would get a lot more leeway with Rockets fans if you would play the younger guys. I know you're trying to get these veterans trade value up to trade them away, but my God, Eric Gordon's been in the league for how many years? DJ Augustine's been in the league for how many years? Everybody knows what these players are at this point. Eric Gordon's already proven that he's healthy. DJ Augustine's already proven that he's healthy after the injury he had in last year. You don't need to constantly be playing these guys. You need to get your young guys on the court, get some excitement from your fan base, and maybe you actually may get a win or two out of this. There's no point to continue to play these guys that cannot shoot, that clog up the lane, that can't play above the rim, that are not getting you wins. It'd be one thing if maybe you were getting a win here, a win there. Maybe you had got 4 or 5 wins at this point, but you have 1 win. You're 1-14. There's no point in continuing to play these veteran guys, these heavy minutes, if you're not winning games. I mean, it's as simple as that. I can't put it more simpler than that. There's a lot of things I like about still by Coach Shaw's that I know a lot of people may not want to hear. The Rockets are getting to the free throw line. They are one of the top teams in the league in points in the paint, top 5. They're getting shots that they need to get. They're just not making them because they don't have the right people on the court at the right times. That's my biggest thing with Coach Shaw's is the rotation. If he would fix the rotation, I guarantee they would have more than 1 win at this point. But they are getting the shots that they need to get. They're just not converting those shots. And then they break down and they panic and then they lose close games like they've done all year long. So change up the rotation, please. That's pretty much all I have to say about that. That's going to do it for today's episode. So if you already done so, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And be sure to follow the Apollo HOU account. That's Apollo HOU. HOU is all caps. For blogs, merch, video, podcasts, and more original Houston sport content not found anywhere else. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back for our next episode of Launchpad Podcast covering your Houston Rockets.